WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hopes on both sides the two-year war in Gaza is over as a ceasefire takes effect. This Israeli man weighing in.
Such a happy moment for all Israelis and for all the Middle East.
Palestinians proceeding with caution.
We don't want them to take their hostages and then return to war.
They have been displaced multiple times and making impossible choices to survive.
Antoine Renard with the World Food Program. The White House is blaming politics after the president was snubbed for the Nobel Peace Prize today. Winner? Venezuela. Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Conchita Machado.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, and I know it's a recognition to our people, to the Venezuelan people.
The Phillies out of the running.
Pajes breaks his bat. Kirk Ring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away.
The Dodgers onto the NLCS after rookie Orion Kirkering's 11th inning error on TNT. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection are now accepting applications for the Food Security and Wisconsin Products Grant Program. The program seeks to provide funding for nonprofit food assistance organizations to purchase food from Wisconsin producers and processors. $10 million of funding was allocated to continue the program in the new biennial state budget. Applications to receive a portion of the $5 million in funding available this year will be accepted until November 5th. The big data center project in Caledonia is off the table, at least for now in that location. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Microsoft says it's dropping plans for a massive data center after strong pushback from residents and village leaders. People had raised concerns about losing farmland and the project's impact on water and energy use. It was planned for an area near the Oak Creek power plant. Microsoft says it may still look for another spot in Caledonia or Racine County, but those talks are on hold.
A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation seeking to expand hunting opportunities for disabled military veterans in Wisconsin. The proposed bill would allow those disabled military veterans to hunt deer of either sex during any Wisconsin firearm deer hunting season. Active service military members currently receive the same benefit. The new legislation would extend the benefit to veterans with a disability rating of 50% or greater, as well as those receiving compensation benefits due to being unemployable as a result of their disability. Tomorrow is the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Variety Show for their golden anniversary. It's on Saturday at 2 p.m. This family-friendly show will feature songs, skits, and improv, and is sure to leave you smiling. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Game 5 tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the last time the Brewers faced Cubs pitcher Matthew Boyd, they knocked in 3 runs in the first inning. Last night, Boyd pitched into the 5th as the Cubs shut out the crew 6-0. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. Boyd was fantastic. He made pitches. How much money did they give him? $39 million. He earned it tonight. He was great.
So Game 5 is tomorrow night at 7:08 at American Family Field to decide who will advance to face the Dodgers for the National League pennant. NBA, the Bucks beat the Pistons 117-111 last night in preseason basketball in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers face the Bengals Sunday afternoon, but kicker Brandon McManus injured his kicking leg at Wednesday's practice, a quad injury. Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
Now, McManus says he thinks he'll be okay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness. A powerful run to the house.
Bengals.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin!
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
It's not the same.
Lake Wasota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News.
I don't know.
Pat Kreitlow.
I mean, I'm good to hear Don again, but I mean, after a week of Parker, yeah. I mean, it's kind of tough to go back. I don't know.
And Parker injects this like liveliness.
I know. And mm-hmm. I said we wanted to expand this. I'd love to hear some Kristen Lyerly intros and some Luke Mathers intros. I think it's time to open things up and crowdsource this. What do you think?
On board.
I think we could do that.
Audience members, think of all our audience members.
I know. We got that voice note feature on the Civic Media app that people can use and make their own little intro to an hour of the show.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it would work for me. Nice to have you back here up north. Nice to be home. 8:07 on this Friday morning, October 10th. That's Parker Olson in Studio A2 down in Madison, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly back from wherever she's been. She's the only person I know that travels more than me sometimes getting around. And you were in Boston this week.
Yeah, I was in Boston, some meetings, met with some folks from the Mass Medical Society, and talked about all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world. You know, it's very interesting because we live in Wisconsin, which is a very divided state. We have a lot of opinions around here, but they're pretty blue in Mass. And to hear how they're practicing medicine and the things that they're worried about was really perspective forming.
I'll bet. Yeah. So we'll get into some of that in just a sec here. But first, from Rob, I know that he gave us a good morning here in YouTube. There he is. Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 50 degrees. Yesterday, I was busy mowing grass and leaves in the Tigerton area. I will be done mowing for the season this weekend. It was a great year mowing. I've been mowing every week since April 28th. Now busy doing paperwork for the mowing season. It says the fall colors are really hitting peak in the Tigerton area. And noted, as I did as well, that Governor Evers was talking about rustic roads, because the rustic road system in our state is now 50 years old. So get out and enjoy the scenery, the nature, the historic buildings, the old farm buildings. Rustic Road 47 between Tigerton and Wittenberg on County M is the one closest to him. And then finally, he says, I have a sore right knee that's been bothering me in recent months. When I was 12 years old, I fell off a hay wagon. Maybe my football and farming is catching up to me as well. I think that's all just our transition to see how our favorite knee replacement patient is doing these days.
Well, good. It's been 6 weeks.
Okay.
You know, healing well, but, you know, it takes a long time.
Well, you're walking through all those airports, you know. You were telling me off air, you went through the Detroit airport, which nobody gets through without 10,000 steps on there.
Gosh. Yeah, you know? Stopped, stretched. And I refuse to do transport. Like, if I have time, I just am going to walk.
Oh, you know what happened last night?
Oh, boy.
Not at the Dallas airport. We were at the Twin Cities airport. We'd arrived. And, of course, we always joke about how our gate is always, like, at the very end of any given concourse. Uh-huh. And, of course, there it was. And it was, what, you know, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I think we looked fine, you know. But there's a cart over to the side and some younger fellow over there. And just says to us, you guys need a ride? And we, you know, we didn't. We were just like, but we walked away going, how old do we look right now that people are now officially saying, offering to help us across the street, you know? Like, wait a minute. We should have gotten mad. Like, what are you talking about? No, we're young. We're virile. We don't need no ride. Instead, we were like, we almost said yes.
No, you probably said, oh, no, thanks. Thanks, oh, no, anyway. Thanks.
We're good. That's what we said. Like, no, thanks anyway. We're good. And then immediately went into, what did he see in us that looked so, like, I don't recall hobbling. But anyway, those days are getting closer.
Maybe you just look tired.
I always look tired, you know. And amazingly, Kristen never does. She comes off of these meetings still, you know, all charged up and everything. I'm assuming this is through your new work on the national board of ACOG.
No, this was with the Committee to Protect Healthcare, which is an incredible organization of nearly 40,000 doctors all across the country in every state doing this patient-facing advocacy work. So they're involved in a lot of things. Like here in Wisconsin, they were involved in the last two Supreme Court races, the ballot initiatives that were primarily about abortion all across the country. Lots of stuff where you need the voices of doctors specifically to talk about what this means for us and our patients. And in the era of RFK Jr., where we saw a recent study come out yesterday that the partisan divide where people place their trust is stronger than ever before. RFK Jr. is heavily trusted by Republicans, even though the things he says are frankly not true in many cases. Like, for example, this connection between autism and circumcision. Can we talk about that? Can we talk extensively about circumcision on our morning show this morning?
Can I? Again, we talked so much.
Do we have to ground rules?
There's so much gyno talk, and instead we're doing circumcisions today, which, no, is again, fine because of the ridiculousness of it. And again, I hope Sherry doesn't mind me, you know, saying something personal here. But right before I texted you the story about Kennedy saying this, I showed her my phone, and there it is, Robert Kennedy Jr. trying to make a connection between autism and circumcision via Tylenol. And it's just one of those times when she looks at another RFK headline and just says, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. It's just like, I mean, the people who went to medical school, the people who study science, have to look at this yo-yo as the Health and Human Services Secretary. So naturally, my next step was to text it to you and say, yep, let's get into it. What made Robert Kennedy Jr. try to make a connection between autism and circumcision?
I don't know what made him do it, but I want to be very clear. He specifically referenced two studies, and he didn't say which two studies they were, but it is likely that they were two very poorly done studies with terrible methodology. That means that when you put a study together, you have a bunch of planning that you have to do. You have to pick your patients and you have to narrow what you're trying to study and make sure that it's actually going to come up with the results that are going to be meaningful. These studies were awful. But unless you understand the complexity of it on its surface, if you're just reading the headline, it could look legitimate. These are not legitimate studies. So why go here? Well, here's my theory. Circumcision is another one of those things that in my practice, in any OBGYN's practice, anytime we're talking about having a baby boy, we have a conversation with our patients about what are you thinking? And it's a complicated conversation. Some patients are, they know what they want to do. They feel comfortable with it. Other people want to have a very in-depth conversation about the risks and the benefits and what's the best thing for my family. And that's important to do. Don't get me wrong. And it's not for everybody. But to draw this kind of a conclusion and recognizing that this is a tender topic for many vulnerable families is so irresponsible coming from the person who is leading health and human services for this country.
Well, it is the equivalent of drawing on a hurricane map with a Sharpie.
Yes.
And that's what some of these studies, quote unquote, are like. And he, of course, doesn't care, much like Trump doesn't care. You make the things say what you want them to say, whether it's what they really say or not. And now we've put another element of confusion, especially into pregnant women. Yes, the fathers and partners and everything as well. But it just seems, what has this guy got against pregnant women and women in general that so much of his gobbledygook is meant to alarm your patients?
He finds those sensitive topics that make people feel uncomfortable, and he exploits them. And there was another clip where he said, "We are doing the studies to make the proof." That's not how science works. Mm-hmm. In science, you have a hypothesis, you have a question that you are trying to answer, and you guess, like, this is what I think is going to happen. But then you have to let the science do its work in order to be objective and honest and real and applicable. You can't tailor that science to prove a point that you are trying to make. That's flawed. But that's exactly what he said.
But that's politics. And that's it just is. It. There's a difference between medicine and politics. And in politics, it is not at all uncommon for people to have a hypothesis about their values and then to try to pursue things that reinforce it, even if it means you have to conveniently ignore other things, you know, that work against your hypothesis. Science is not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be, I mean, truly nonpartisan, supposed to be independent and let the facts speak for themselves. And then, you know, politicians are not supposed to then, you know, be fraudulent with what the science actually says.
That's why this Kaiser Family Foundation study that came out a couple days ago is so concerning, because what it shows is that people who call themselves Republicans believe what RFK Jr. is saying. People who call themselves Democrats and most independents continue to follow the science. So what we're seeing is people consume this information based on their political views. And that too is wrong. When I'm taking care of a patient in my exam room and somebody walks through the door and I know they're a Republican, I don't treat them any differently than an independent or a Democrat. We talk about what's going on with them. We talk about all the options for testing. We talk about all the options for treatment. We try to pick out the best alternative for them, because ultimately it has to work for you in your life. And it should not be tailored specifically depending on how you vote.
And I hate to be a broken record about this, but I feel like we have to end this discussion, like some of the other recent ones, in saying, because of the conflicting information and misinformation that's out there, it is more important than ever to not be afraid to ask questions. Now, there are some doctors that feel like you're the only person. We've got all day to talk about this. There are other doctors who they feel the pressure, like, you got 15 minutes. You got to get out of here.
And that's what you have, too.
But don't. If you are the patient and you've got questions, you put them out there, even if they've got to follow up later. But don't walk away having not asked the questions that you have.
Totally agree. And can I just mention one other thing? You know what population they haven't gone after? Postmenopausal women. I challenge the administration to go after hormone therapy, and they will have met their match. Right, ladies?
That amen I just heard was downright deafening. So yes, absolutely do that. Back to feeling our age from Tony on YouTube. A kid in elementary school called me sir yesterday morning. I felt so old. No, that's when you feel like a grown-up is the first time you get called sir. It's like, hey, look, I'm an adult now. But I noticed, years and years ago now, that far more than any other guys that I know, the number of people that always use the word sir, you know, when they're saying, here you go, sir, here's this, sir. And not in like some, in a way that totally says, yep, you're the old guy now in this particular conversation, you know? And she's like, no, you can just say Pat. I'm like, oh no, that would feel weird. It's like, really?
That's so regional too. So my ex-husband is from Atlanta, and mm-hmm. down in the Southeast, everybody is sir and ma'am. And that mm-hmm. is a standard thing. Like, you could be 16 and they'd be talking sir and ma'am with you. But up here, obviously, it's not like that. So much of that is cultural and interesting.
Interesting. And yes, it appears to be a little age-based.
Sorry, Tony.
Again, I'm sure if I'd listened carefully, the guy at the airport cart would have been like, sir, do you need a ride? No, and don't call me sir. But I didn't break out into a run to prove my youthfulness.
Jump over some suitcases.
Yeah, no, because my knees would not let me. That's just not the way that this is going to work. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and coming up in 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to Mike Clemens, and we're going to be talking a little sports. The Brewers taking it to a fifth game. facing now possible elimination against the Cubs, and the Packers get set to take on Cincinnati. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. More from Chippewa Falls coming up.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Introducing your new Dell PC with the Intel Core Ultra Processor. It helps you handle a lot, even when your holiday to-do list gets to be a lot. Like organizing your holiday shopping and searching for great holiday deals and customer questions and customers requesting custom things, plus planning the perfect holiday dinner for vegans, vegetarians, pescatarians, and Uncle Mike's carnivore diet. Luckily, you can get a PC with all-day battery life to help you get it all done. That's the power of a Dell PC with Intel Inside, backed by Dell's Price Match Guarantee. Get yours today at Dell.com/deals. Terms and conditions apply. See Dell.com for details.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI studios.
Those come in the second act. I joke with my husband, I know all of my lines, I'm just not always sure where those lines come in.
Yeah, yeah. that tricky part. But that's great. Thank you for that, Beth. Appreciate it. Brent, can you tell us a little bit about your acting experience and what the character you're playing?
Why, sure. This actually marks my return to the stage after more than 30 years was the last time I was out on a stage for a dinner theater production down in southwestern Wisconsin. Prior to that, I was in a couple of high school productions, so this is still relatively new to me, but I've got some background in it. My character is one of the two investigating officers that come along late in the second act and try to straighten out all the rumors.
Right on. Well,
put two and two together and... we keep coming up with five.
Well done. First off, good on you for getting back on that stage. I appreciate that when anybody ever does that. And I always admire it when it's done. And when it comes to why you decided to get back on the stage, what brought you to it?
Well, this is a funny story. For a number of years as the executive director of the Jensen Community Center, where Rumors is going to be, I had been trying to make some efforts to get community theater back on our stage. We had had community theater years ago, and most of the players there had retired, and it had kind of faded away to the point we were having some children's musicals each summer. Variety Productions was doing those. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if we had an adult play with grown-ups, I should say, instead of an adult play.
Yeah.
Grown-ups.
We get you.
Kenny and I have talked back and forth, and when he came up with this, I thought, well, I better put my money where my mouth is and audition. And Kenny said he had a part for me, and... I did a video audition for it and got the part.
Excellent. Very cool to hear. Very cool. I appreciate that background. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about the Jensen Community Center before we wrap up today and some of the point of the show and everything. But as somebody who, and I'll be honest here, I love movies and TV shows like the rest of us and everything. If they got rid of all that and all we had was community theater, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. As long as we've got community theater, as long as we have theater, I'm all right. This is where the real entertainment is for me. When you get one take, and it's locals up there and some of those things, it's where I think it lives and breathes, this theater. And that's really cool to hear, especially when it feels like oftentimes when we're talking about community theater nowadays, we're talking a lot about losing community theaters. You looking to bring this one back, just, artist to artist, I appreciate that. That's very, very cool to hear and makes us all the more want to get behind this show.
Yeah, and actually, I'll expand a little bit on what Brent said. So the Amherst area had the Tamar River Community Theater started in 1978, and it ran pretty much two shows a year for probably a decade or more, and then later on got into musicals. And as we got into the 2000s, it as Brent said, we had people move on, we had people age out of it. We had, fortunately, we lost some of our founding members, of course. And so this show was really a way to kind of bridge that gap between then and here. So this show is actually being dedicated to the memory and the history of Tamar River Community Theater. I know we're going to have a lot of our former cast members and former crew members of the old TRCT will be in attendance. And we're going to do a couple of special things, too, to kind of dedicate that show as well to one of the founding members that passed away just last year. But what happened is after TRCT went away, we had great support from a woman named Janet Kladuski that came in with Variety Productions. And Variety Productions, the reason it's called Variety is because it's everything. A lot of musicals has been the onstage stuff, music concerts and performances, but there's running and walking and health element. And Janet is dedicated endless hours of time towards Variety Productions to make it what it is. And I'm fortunate enough that she's let me take the reins on directing a play, trying something new. Her shows are all pretty much family friendly for all ages, where our show is really meant for a mature audience. So if you're thinking about coming to the show, keep that in mind. There is some strong language in it. And, you might want to think about that before you bring your child. But just what a great experience, and I'm so excited to bring that theater feel back, and hopefully it's something that we can keep on going here.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that note, Kenny, on all of that. So, Tom, wanted to continue to ask the questions about your character and a little bit of your acting background, if you will.
I'm Tom Bray. I play Officer Pudney, who works with Officer Welsh, and we're called to this house, and nobody really seems to want to tell us what's going on, but they have all different stories. They have all the different rumors they're telling us, and we're trying to figure all this out basically on the fly. So it's a great part. I want to back up something Ken said. This play is fun, and it's funny, both. It's just fun to be there, fun to watch it, and it's funny end to end. So it's just a great play. As far as my background goes, I'm worse off than Brent is, because for me, I was middle school and high school, or I'm at school, it's called junior high, but junior high and high school. And that was back in the 70s. And because of the course that my life ran down since then, I have not had a chance to be involved in community theater. I have not had the chance. Most of my work involved traveling and doing different things.
Sure.
Well, I've retired from my main job now, so I have time. So one of the first things I did was, I want to get into this, and I made the mistake of telling Ken that I really want to do this. And he made sure I was hooked into everything we're doing in the community now. And I'm a big supporter. I'm an Amherst person, so anything that the community's got going on, I want to be involved in, so I jumped right in.
Appreciate all that, Tom. And to what you and Brent have been touching on there about being away from the stage for a while, getting back on, that's brave, man. That's brave. I don't throw that word around or anything. I admire that. I do it because I'm insane. I can't help myself. I'm an actor at trade. Insane-minded people like yourselves that do this, I always admire that. I think it's a brave thing to do. And you brought up, you've all touched on this a little bit, and we'll kind of come back to you, Brent, a little bit more about the Jensen Community Center and the purpose of this show and some of those things. But to tie into that, something that you've all kind of touched on already is wanting to do things for the Amherst area, caring about the Amherst area. We in our area, and all of our listeners out there, wherever you might live, have a very similar feeling. And I think, especially in this day and age, where I want to do some good. Put me to work. I want to do something good. And I've got this skill set, but I don't know where to put it. I don't know what to do with it and everything. And, not all of us can cure a disease or help in an ER or something like that. But everybody's got something. Everybody got some way to be able to add to their community. And for many of us, this is our skill set. This is one way we can do that, because while plays are great and they're awesome, and Tom, you had a great note there about this being a funny and fun show. It's funny, you're going to laugh at it, but it's fun in the sense of you're going
to
enjoy.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Rapids ATV-UTV ordinance was a topic on the agenda again during last night's Public Works Committee meeting. Alderperson Madeline Palmquist opened the discussion.
I made this referral after being contacted by a handful of residents from our surrounding communities.
The Wisconsin Rapids ATV-UTV ordinance that was passed earlier this year is different from the one voted down by residents last November. It only allows recreational vehicle traffic on County Road Z, Griffith Avenue, for about 600 feet. Palmquist also said the council made an effort to address concerns they heard from residents who voted against it last fall before they passed the current ordinance.
Such as age, insurance, having a valid driver's license.
This stretch of road is shared with Wood County, which allows ATV-UTV traffic, and it does give the recreational vehicles access to Quick Trip and Walmart on that end of town. However, there are some property owners in Grand Rapids and Port Edwards, for example, who end up landlocked, either because the road they live on is owned by the City of Wisconsin Rapids, or it's half and half and people don't want to violate the rules of the city. Palmquist said she's hearing from people who are frustrated they can't access their open roads.
This referral would just add additional roadways to our existing ordinance and not change any of the rules.
Wisconsin Rapids is an island surrounded by counties that do allow ATV-UTV traffic, including Wood County itself, which allows ATV drivers as young as 12 when accompanied by an adult. Palmquist said the existing ordinance came to be because at the end of the day, they want to be good neighbors. The Public Works Committee requested a list of roadways that are shared by municipalities before any further action is taken. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. One battle after another seems to be the movie with the most early Oscar buzz. According to Variety, the critic's darling and really fun movie start to finish is on track to potentially receive as many as 14 Academy Award nods. If it happens, it would tie the record for the most all time held by Titanic, All About Eve, and La La Land. Six of those nominations could come in the acting category. Five of the potential acting nominees are well-seasoned, if not previous winners. But the big story is breakout star of the film, Chase Infinity, who could draw a Best Actress nod. Her two female co-stars, Regina Hall and Tiana Taylor, are favorites to draw nominations in the Best Supporting Actress category. Leonardo DiCaprio is expected to be nominated for Best Actor, with co-stars Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro possibly receiving Best Supporting Actor nominations. That would give the film six nominations for acting, which is unprecedented. If you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when.
don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, you've heard the voice, First and 10 Wisconsin, and Ron Dane. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I let Dr. Lyerly go without promoting her show, which she works on every week and is now heard Saturdays at noon all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So tune in for the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show tomorrow at noon. Her guest is candidate for governor, Kel DeRoys. And I was making the note earlier about, shall we say, the youthfulness of the current field of candidates for governor. And I thought, well, if I gave one, I better give all the rest of them here. So what I've got here is Josh Call, who is not in the race now, is 44. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is 50. Fran Hong, 36. Kel DeRoys, 46. Missy Hughes, 57. Dave Crawley, 39. Mandela Barnes, a potential candidate, 38. Republican Tom Tiffany, 67 years old. So, again, a lot of opportunities for folks who either will get the governorship next year or there's a U.S. Senate race 2 years after that. So, again, Kel DeRoys will be on with Dr. Lyerly coming up at noon tomorrow. Let's bring in now Mike Clemens, and let's talk a little sports here about, well, you got the Brewers and the Cubs, unfortunately. Now the Cubs facing elimination, and so I guess we may as well start there as well as anything else. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Well, it was tough last night, man. The momentum shift after Quinn Priester's performance the other night is just unbelievable. I just flip a switch, and I don't know if it starts with the atmosphere, the Cubs fans there at the friendly confines. Freddie Peralta starting last night, and you know what? Did you see at one point the fans at Wrigley were chanting, "Freddie, Freddie"?
I did not think that would get into his head, but it seems to have done just that, and that's why I said earlier, anybody who's got a ticket for tomorrow night's game, man, you better not let the Cubs fans be louder than you, because they do not need to feel like this is a home game. This is our territory. We got to protect it in a game 5, 7:08 first pitch tomorrow, pregame at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And yeah, how much are we missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Well, that sounds like simple analysis. And after the game last night, I went up and down this playoff roster, and that's it. I mean, it's simple. That's it. So, you know, let me set the scene here. It's last Saturday afternoon. The crowd that the Brewers drew of Brewers fans was just phenomenal. And I've been doing this since 82. I got in as a producer to cover those World Series games. And I was talking to Mike Vassell, the PR director, after game 2, and I said, this crowd, man. He goes, "I know." I said, "Did you guys, like, have auditions and rehearsals?" This is crazy, because, you know, they had a great rendition of the national anthem, other kinds of pageantry, a little tribute to Euchre. The crowd got there early. They were all, like, mostly in their 30s and 40s, and frankly, a lot of them sober for that afternoon game. And then they bring out Charlie Behrens, and he's waving that rally towel. They gave out 42,000 rally towels. And I'm like, oh, my, and they were just so in sync with all the things that, you know, that the scoreboard crew plays to get the crowd going. And they just dominated with noise and everything. Brewers jump out to a 6-1 lead. They win game 1. They win game 2. One thing that was interesting is that both these teams, you know, they're scoring early in the games. I think they were combined by the end of the first inning was 32 points for both teams. 21 of those points in the first inning, which is a new Major League Baseball record in a postseason. In a playoff series. So then they get down to Chicago, and with Brandon Woodruff out, their starting pitchers for a playoff is Freddie Peralta, and then the number 3 guy was the Quinn Priester, 25-year-old, grew up around Chicago. He only lasts 39 pitches in game 3 the other night. They hit him for 3 runs, and they end up losing that game 4-3. Then last night, Freddie Peralta gives up a 3-run homer to Ian Happ, Two outs, 1-1 pitch, guys on first and second, and it looks like Freddie's going to get out of that jam. Nope. The Cubs are about to a 3-0 lead, and that just changes the atmosphere. Now, when you've got a lead like that, especially in a postseason game, your pitchers can relax and coast and aim for the strike zone, and the Brewers only got three hits last night. And now it's even Steven tomorrow night. I don't know what Murph's going to do. I think he made a very wise move that he said, okay, look, I really only have two starting pitchers. So what I'll do is let's secure game one, put Freddie out there. That worked.
Yep.
Let's go by pitcher by committee for game two here at home. So then we're at Wrigley. We'll put the kid in there, and if he can win game three, boom, we're done. Well, it didn't work, and now they're running out of pitchers, and I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow night.
And everybody's kind of wondering/worrying about that. For Priester, I don't know if the term is proper here, if I say, you know, the yips, in that he just could not hit the strike zone with his signature pitch. And, you know, the closest example I have was growing up in Minnesota, where Chuck Knobloch was like one of the premier shortstops. And then he moved to the Yankees and he did okay for a season or two there. And then he got the worst case of the yips I think perhaps anybody's ever seen, where he could not throw a ball to first base to save his life and ultimately left the game. And I'm not trying to project onto Quinn Priester here. I'm just saying that there is, much like a batting slump, I mean, it just gets in your head if you can't find a way to deal with it. And I worry about the kid that way. The other kid I worry about, Jacob Mizorowski. We're going to need him to pitch multiple innings of relief tomorrow. And again, with that 103-mile-an-hour fastball, he's got to hit his marks.
Got to hit his marks. Got to, you know, put a little bit more motion on the ball. And he had some kind of a bit of an emotional breakdown when guys started hitting him. You know, Murphy, and we won't go into detail on that, but it's something where Murphy has to protect it. He's just a kid. He's, you know, 23, the Miz. Lots of pressure on him. You know, maybe they should have held off on the T-shirts, whatever. But anyway, that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. You know, the good news is the game is at home. If the Brewers can, you know, turn it around and get that same momentum going they had last weekend, they would be at home on Monday night against the L.A. Dodgers, a team that they've swept. Yes. So we'll see.
Yeah. And the Dodgers get in on one of the craziest final plays ever. Philadelphia's pitcher, Orion Kerkering, I think is the name. And just having what should have been a relatively easy, you know, comebacker to the mound, throwing it to first or home. He chooses to throw it home, and it goes way wide. Dodger runner scores. Dodgers clinch the series. Again, that kind of heartache that will haunt, you know, Philly fans for the entire winter. But, you know, that's how baseball works. Is sometimes a single errant throw can change everything.
There's a hit. It gets hit back to this pitcher, and he's got the ball in his hands. Now, the runner on third base is already halfway down the line, right? He's rolling. There's two outs. And the Phillies just need one more out to win this game, and or to keep the game going, because they were in extra innings. And in a panic, instead of picking up the ball, which he was kind of having a hard time getting a hold on, and throwing it to first, where, you know, he had plenty of time to throw it to first before the batter got there, he flips it to his catcher. It goes wide. The Dodgers score, and they win the game and end the series. So, and then you could see the Phillies manager talking to him right away, like, hey, you know, you didn't lose this thing, because he could go down in baseball lore forever in Philadelphia as the guy who blew a series. And frankly, for the Brewers, I'd rather see them take on the Dodgers than the Phillies, because they didn't match up very well against Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to avoid that Bill Buckner label that gets on
right,
somebody.
Right, that kind of a label.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Let's switch over to basketball, because the Bucks, they're getting close to starting that regular season. They had the Pistons last night in a preseason game at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. And still the rumors about Giannis possibly leaving. Good Lord, Mike, the national press will not leave this alone.
You know, and that's what my feeling was in August or so, and until the details came out this week. And it's like, oh, okay. The fact of the matter is, the season ends for the Bucks. Damian Lillard goes down with the Achilles. And so the Bucks make these bold moves where they release Dame Lillard, They make the trade for Miles Turner from the Pacers. They rebuild their roster. They move on. They moved on from Middleton and then Brooke Lopez. And in June and July, they present this to Giannis, thought that they had a deal. And then the next thing you know, John Horst gets a call, and he's flying to Greece to meet with Giannis and his agent while Giannis is playing for the Greek national team in the European leagues. And Giannis is like, you know, what would it take for me to get into New York? Like, he thinks of New York as another destination. If he was interested, if he went anywhere, it would be that. But anyway, he constantly is challenging the team about what can they do with the roster. And they've done everything that they can, really. So it's come out down to that. They did have talks with the Knicks in August, but the Knicks gave up, you know, four or five of their first-round picks to get this Mikal Bridges. You have to now watch between the period of February 1st and February 4th, where, you know, without going into details, there's a window there that maybe that the Mikal Bridges could be moved when his contract reaches a certain spot if Giannis goes with that deal. So I think it'll pretty much be, all right, we'll see how the season is going, and then, you know, maybe make a final decision before the trade deadline, February 4th.
All right, well, we got him for now to start the season. That's the important part, is get the season off to a strong start. Badger football, the Badgers with their 2-3 record will be hosting Iowa at 6 p.m. on Saturday. So the pregame will be starting at 4 o'clock on some civic media stations there. And then let's get over to the NFL here, where the Packers are going to host the Cincinnati Bengals. And a little deja vu, a 3:25 kickoff Sunday, 1 o'clock the pregame starting on civic media stations. And the deja vu being Joe Flacco, guy that they just played a couple of weeks back when he had Cleveland uniform on. This is something you never see in the NFL.
No. One of the reporters joked when LaFleur came in and says, so when's the last time you played Joe Flacco? You know, I was like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, Joe Flacco was brought in as a quarterback for the Browns this year. And, you know, the Cleveland fans have been ripping on him because he's too conservative and not, you know, driving the ball downfield. And he's 40 years old, and these quarterbacks, even Brett Favre has said that. He says, you know, I was a different quarterback when I was 38 as opposed to 25. I was safer with the football, believe it or not. And, you know, you just tend to be that way. Aaron Rodgers, the same thing. Anyway, they moved on in Cleveland with Dylan Gabriel. The Bengals are desperate because Jake Browning, their backup, has thrown 8 interceptions. They've lost their last 3 games. They're trying to, you know, hold the phone for Joe Burrow when he comes back from toe surgery at some point. And so they get Flacco. And LaFleur and Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator of the Packers, think, hey, there's a good chance that this guy could actually, you know, adapt to this, that sort of pocket offense that the Bengals run anyway. So he'll be out there at 3:25 on 4 days to prepare for a game. One thing we're watching, though, is the kicker situation. Brandon McManus, your 34-year-old ace kicker for the Packers, at Wednesday's practice, he's kicking balls, and all of a sudden, twink, feels something in his right quad, in his kicking leg, in his thigh. Mm. And he said, you know what, this happened to me 3 years ago. I got through it. It happened on a Wednesday. I still kicked on Sunday. I kicked a 40-yarder or a 50-yarder. So he might be a question mark for Sunday's game at kicker.
All right. Well, and back to Favre. Today is his 56th birthday. And so if he's comments about his playing shape, I mean, we're facing Aaron Rodgers in a couple of weeks here. Maybe the game between that, the Arizona, maybe we end up facing Favre at 56. Maybe he feels like he's got something to prove there. Anyway, Packers-Bengals, again, coming up this Sunday, and Mike Clemens will be following it all, and we will talk to him all about it next Friday as well. Safe travels, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You know, we laugh about that, but stranger things have happened in the NFL. Have a good weekend, Pat.
Stranger things have happened. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it very, very much. And again, 3:25 kickoff, 1 o'clock is the pregame for the Packers and Bengals. For the Badgers against Iowa, coverage begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow for kickoff at 6, homecoming against Iowa. And Brewers and Cubs, pregame starts at 6:30 tomorrow. Some final news and notes back home in Lake Wasota after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Home Depot has everything you need to turn your home into a beacon of holiday cheer.
So whether you're going all out or just adding a few holiday touches, we've got you covered with trees, yard decor, and more. Save time decorating with one of our easy-to-assemble pre-lit trees or pick up a piece from our Yuletide Lane decor collection and fill your yard with holiday joy. Whatever your style, find everything to get your holidays started at the Home Depot.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
All right, let's look ahead at what you'll find across the Civic Media Radio Network later on, coming up on the Matineer on Air program with Jane Matineer and Greg Bach. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins Jane and Greg just after 10 o'clock this morning. And then get this, Todd Alba today at 2:35 is going to be talking to Mike Mankey, the PA announcer for Badger Athletics. Oh. I've been hearing some promos for that. The man behind the voice, as Todd likes to say. So that should be a lot of fun.
I'm really excited about that. I want to make sure I hear that today.
But you'll be napping. You're always napping at about that time.
I am. Oh, I'm actually really going to have to nap because I'm going to be on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba tonight. So I actually might.
Wait a minute. Let me scroll down here.
I don't know if it's in down. There. I haven't looked.
Let me scroll. It's not on here. Are you sure? Are you somebody pulling your leg? All I see under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is Bar Band Friday includes the original song Baseball on the Radio in honor of the Brewers, written by Southern Wisconsin musicians. I'm not seeing any Parker Olson here.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure me and
not pulling your leg.
Okay. Me and Greg All Gunderson, right. I think, are going to be on tonight.
Okay.
Talking about our new sports show.
Maggie Dawn has Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Let's see. Also, Jennifer Sullivan, Director of Health Coverage Access for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, talking about the rising cost of health insurance because of Republicans cutting subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. And also, Terry Barr will join Maggie for What's Good and Local but Overlooked. But getting back to Todd here for a second, not only does he have Mike Mankey coming on, but it says here at 3:06, weirdly specific time, but after the 3 o'clock, there's going to be a VIP ticket giveaway to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the incredible story of an avid group of Japanese Packers fans making their way to the Mecca of Lambeau Field, debuting at the Majestic Theater in Waukesha. And Todd's going to have VIP tickets to give away for this thing.
Wow.
How fun is this guy?
That's very fun. He's big time. How about that? VIP?
VIP tickets. What do we got?
We don't even have tickets.
I'm looking around. I don't even have, I mean, I can give away my Roy Kent coffee mug. That's about it.
You're not separating yourself from that.
No, I'm not. Totally not. No. Are you going to be watching your Whitewater football team in action this weekend? I should have gone over the WIAC schedule with Mr. Clemens while he was here.
Yeah, that's all right. Whitewater is playing against Stevens Point this weekend. Stevens Point is how you would say, lowly. They are okay. Not good. So I might not watch. I might just listen. And watch something else.
Okay. Let's see. We've also got UW-Eau Claire is traveling to UW-La Crosse.
Yeah.
And you've got Platteville heading to River Falls.
That'll be fun.
Again, Whitewater at Point and Oshkosh heading to Stout. Or the standings here overall. Yeah, I mean, it's only week two, you know. I mean, so
conference play,
at the top, you've got Platteville, La Crosse, Oshkosh, and Stout all with 1-0 records. And then now at the bottom with 0-1 records, Eau Claire, River Falls, Stevens Point. Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that Whitewater really down there at the bottom?
Whitewater lost in double overtime to La Crosse last week. So,
is that a symbolic victory? Can we make it like 0-1-1?
Oh, no. It was not that. It felt like we lost four games because we're up 17-0 at halftime and we didn't score until overtime.
I see.
No symbolic victories here.
Okay, I gotcha. On the text line from Tiffany in River Falls, talking about Shannon Zimmerman saying, I think our assembly district gets forgotten because we're so close to the Twin Cities and we're part of the Twin Cities media market. We have to seek out Wisconsin news, and it's so frustrating, but it's why I love civic media and I tell everyone to listen. And Tiffany, we appreciate that very much because, again, both from Up North News, which is part of Courier Newsroom, and civic media, a real core focus has been getting Wisconsin news out to places that have a tough time getting Wisconsin news, places that are in the Twin Cities TV market or the Duluth TV market, or they're down there, you know, closer to Chicago. And it's just tougher to get Wisconsin news into some of these places. It's kind of like, Parker, the way every year we have members of Congress introduce bills so that you can actually see the Packers everywhere in Wisconsin, including if you're in the Twin Cities TV market, and yet nothing ever comes of it year after year after year.
Yeah.
It's tough to feel like you're a Wisconsinite in some of these border communities.
It is. It sucks. I think that's part of too why you see so many Cubs fans at Brewer games is because they're all right there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So again, you've got organizations like these that are trying to put more Wisconsin news, Wisconsin sports into these places and kind of bring more of Wisconsin together and feel a bit more united. It's way too easy to feel like you're more part of a TV market than what's inside your state borders. But who your legislator is in Hudson, you know, in St. Croix County and in Pierce County, you know, these things should matter a lot to the voters there, but you'd never know listening to Twin Cities media. So I'm glad we're filling a role there, especially around the 3rd Congressional District. You know, we've got so many stations in and near the 3rd District so that people are hearing much more about the importance of the congressional representative for that area, whether it's Derek Van Orden this year or whether it's, you know, one of the other candidates that wants to unseat him. These are uniquely Wisconsin issues that people deserve to hear about. It's part of what we talked about with Congressman Mark Bocan yesterday and why he's doing town halls throughout the 3rd Congressional District, because the current representative there isn't holding any. And so once again, you got people with a focus on bringing news to all of Wisconsin so that you have you know, the right representation in both Madison and in Washington, D.C. when these elections are all over. Well, Parker, hope you have a good weekend. Good luck to Whitewater anyway. And of course, to the Brewers, the Badgers, the Packers as well. We will be summing all of it up, of course, Monday morning, 6 a.m., back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Gaza ceasefire went into effect this morning after the Israeli government approved the first phase of a peace plan with Hamas. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Trump says he will leave on Sunday for the Middle East, where he will attend the signing of the peace deal.
The president's hope that his efforts would win him the Nobel Peace Prize this year have been dashed. The Norwegian committee has awarded it to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, who lives in hiding.
I'm honored. I am very grateful on behalf of the Venezuelan people.
The White House is chalking up the president's snub to politics over peace. The French are paying tribute to a favorite pastry at the post office. CBS's Vicky Barker from the Foreign Desk.
The French Post Office has created a special edition scratch and sniff airmail postage stamp that emits the scent of a croissant.
CBS.